Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. And I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, September 20th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. And, it's an absolutely beautiful day here.
Yes, it is.
On the eastern shore of Maryland. I think our high today was like 75. No humidity, sunshine, blue skies, and fluffy clouds. Just absolutely beautiful.
You're working for the Department of Commerce now as advertiser, right?
Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah. You're trying to get visitors up there and make some money. I hear you. Go for it.
Oh, boy. It's just absolutely beautiful here today. I'm sure it's there in West Virginia, too.
It's 86 down here right now, which is really hot this time of year, but it's 86 degrees.
Yeah. Well, how come we're only in the 70s?
I have no idea. Maybe he's coming your way.
We're in the 70s all week. I mean, it's just like all the way through next week. So must be heading north up to Todd's place up there in Pennsylvania. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started with gold today. You know, we had an interesting day in the market, so there's lots to talk about. Gold today, right now, the New York spot price after market is up 1080 at $1,766. Silver is down 13 pennies at $22.33. Platinum was down 27 at 917. Palladium was down 138 at 1,962. Now, again, everybody's wondering why silver's down and any of the metals down. Well, and I think that's due to what is all going on and what hit the markets today. And I think these are knee-jerk reactions, especially for silver, because it's still looked at as an industrial metal. So if you're looking at a lower GDP and things not so hot worldwide, yeah, you're going to have some of that industrial premium. But eventually, once we get the monetary premium back into silver, yes, it's going to continue to increase. So it's a great buying opportunity to get it while you can. And the USDX today, it was all over the place. It was up a little bit, down a little bit. Now, right now it's unchanged at $93.23. Crude oil was down $1.20 at $70.77. Let's see where those paper markets ended up. Well, you know, Dow was down 900 points earlier in the day, and now we're looking at the Dow being down 614 at 33,970. The S&P fell 1.7%, its worst day since May, down 75 points at 4,357. The NASDAQ was down almost 2.25%, 330 points, at 14,713. So if you look at Europe was all negative across the board. The DAX fell the biggest, almost 2.5%. Asian markets were mixed, though, which surprises me, and particularly the Shanghai. That was higher just by, 6 points, so it's no big deal. But the whole reason is because of what's happening over there, that even the Nikkei was higher by 0.5%. So the only one that was that we talk about was the Hang Seng, but that was down 3.30%. But that's another reason why it is lower. And we're going to talk about, Butch, why that's down. There's two reasons that they're giving us that the stock market was down. One, because of the debt limit suspension bill that the Democrats are going to put into their $3.5 trillion just to try to prevent a government shutdown. We'll talk about that after this, Butch.
Okay.
But the China's developer, Evergrande, they're on the brink of a default. Now, this Chinese property giant is on the brink of a default, is on the brink of collapse. And the potential fallout, you're talking about a global impact. This would be the biggest test for China's financial system that they have faced in years. And the problems are pretty bad. They have, after this company expanded rapidly for years And they went around snapping up all kinds of assets as China's economy boomed. They are now snowed under with a crushing debt of $300 billion. $300 billion. Now, this is the world's most indebted property developer, and they've been scrambling to pay its suppliers, and they've warned investors twice in as many weeks that it could default on their debt. Evergrande said that its property sales will likely continue to drop significantly in September after declining 4 months. And this developer is so huge that the fallout from a potential failure could hurt not only the Chinese economy, but, yeah, it's going to spread to markets way beyond. Banks have also responded to its deteriorating cash flow. Some in Hong Kong, including the HSBC and Standard Charter, have declined to extend new loans to buyers of two uncompleted Evergrande residential projects. Agencies, rating agencies, they have repeatedly downgraded the firm. Their share price plunged nearly 80% so far this year, and trading of its bonds was repeatedly halted by the Chinese stock exchanges in the past 2 weeks. So everybody kind of wants to know, Butch, what the Evergrande does. What do they do? They're everywhere. Its main business is in real estate, and it's China's second largest property developer by sales. They own more than 1,300 real estate projects in over 280 cities in China. Its property services management arm is involved in nearly 2,800 projects across more than 310 cities in China. The company has 7 units dabbling in a wide range of industries, including electric vehicles, healthcare services, consumer products, video, television production units, and even a theme park. They say they have 200,000 employees, but indirectly creates more than 3.8 million jobs every year. And, you know, who's going to be affected? Well, of course, you're going to banks, suppliers, home buyers, investors. They even warned that everything could lead to a broader default risk. Banks, the banking industry would be among the first to be hit if there are any contagion effects on the wider property sector. Banking failure triggered by the collapse of a major property developer was the single most likely scenario. So everyone, home buyers, investors, so this is a kind of a big deal. Now, everybody kind of thinks that the Chinese government will bail them out, and they probably will. They've learned lessons from the U.S. on how to do that and when to do it. And so, you know, so I think this had a lot to do with the drop in the stock markets today. And I don't know if their government, well, it's a communist country, so I guess to some degree they're all owned by the government. I think that's about all I have on that. So, yes, you know, I remember the Asian contagion back in the mid-90s and how it affected the markets and what had happened and so forth. And again, Butch, when we're looking at, you know, the rest of the world that, you know, has been still feeling from the shutdown and the lockdowns a year ago, the timing of this is not very good.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And you have to wonder, they had to know a long time ago they were starting to sink. Why didn't they reverse course? I mean, well, think about it. I mean, the banks here knew they were sinking. They didn't change anything. But, of course, the Fed bailed them out. It's like I said, trying to do them. Maybe that's why they don't reverse, because then they're going to get help anyway.
Well,
they can't afford to let them fail. They can't afford to let them fail.
You're right, but I think it's...
Go ahead.
I think it's even more than that, Butch. I think once they get into this thing, they can't help but keep doing what they're doing. Just like our government. They can't help but keep going into debt, because that's what they have to do. That's all they can do.
Well, it certainly is a mess, and it's on every level that you can think of, especially in government, but in Evergrande and other companies, we'll say somewhere near that caliber, are doing the same thing they have been for years. The whole system runs on debt worldwide. The whole system is. Some countries may be a little better off than others, but the whole system runs on debt. And debt cannot brace up a foundation forever. It's impossible. It's fake. It has to go down.
Well, and now this is the one that many think also impacted the markets today. You have the Democrats are going to put a debt limit suspension in the bill that aims to prevent the government shutdown. And we know the government funding expires at the end of September. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, has said that the U.S. will likely not be able to pay its bills sometime in Congress, sometime in October. If Congress does not suspend the debt limit, the bill's fate is unclear. A Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has said Republicans will not join the Democrats in suspending the debt limit. So we got the September 30th deadline, and they're going to continue to, the Democrats are going to try to suspend the U.S. debt limit. And so the House plans to vote this week on legislation. The bill that they're going to address is would fund the government through December and suspend the debt limit through the end of 2022. So, wow. Again, this bill's fate is uncertain. Pelosi and Schumer said the GOP has an obligation to address the debt limit because the party helped to pass sprawling coronavirus aid plans last year. That kind of cracks me up. So now they're blaming the GOP for all the bills that were passed, for all the stimulus that was passed in early 2020, and yet Pelosi and Schumer, you know, are right behind all of them, readily to sign anything there is to give for all the stimulus and everything. So now they're blaming just the GOP. It's kind of funny. It isn't funny, but it's just...
It's really sad.
They're shameless, yes.
Well, you know, yes. both parties have been kicking the can down the road for a long, long, long time. The Democrats won't kick it ever down the road a little further this time. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they can't do anything about it. When you think about this, they really can't do anything about it. And there's no way to balance the budget now. There's no way. It's impossible. Why even talk about it? You know, spending is the only thing that kept this thing going for the last how many years? And it's not going to change now. If they drop the money presses, America's over. I mean, we'd be going to talk about depression. Talk about a mess. But yeah, all they're going to do, no matter who gets their way, is kick it down the road to next year and do it all over again or whatever.
I know, and you know what? I mean, it really is disgusting. Because, you know, this bill, this funding bill, is going to include, now, you know, they can't just do a bill to address the issue, okay? No, they can't do that. They got to make sure there's money in there so that they can buy off someone so they can get these bills passed. So here you have a bill that's supposed to be for, you know, the debt ceiling and so forth, pay the government. But they're going to include relief money for a recent string of natural disasters, which could make it much more appealing to the GOP lawmakers who represent states hit by those storms. So Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana told NBC News he is inclined to back a funding bill that includes a debt ceiling suspension because it would include critical relief funding for his state. You know, what these guys don't do, it's just, yes, the state was hit hard. But you know what, Senator John Kennedy? What have you been doing these past years to get prepared and plan for critical natural disasters that happen in your state? You know, don't they have they don't plan for anything. They all run to the federal government, and they include these little bonuses for the various states just to get stuff passed. I don't know. It's just, they are shameless. They are. And I guess deals are deals. I mean, even Donald Trump said that he was going to go to D.C. and make some deals. Well, you know what? I don't want deals to be done in D.C. because that's really not the best for us. You know, so.
Well, that's, I mean, it's been going on for a lot longer than you not been alive. It's been going on at least since the late 1800s.
But it was never this 1800s. Big.
And, well, it used to be kind of kept secret. Now it's out in the open. Nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, okay, you're bribing me. Give me some money for the state and I'll vote for it. I mean, that's what they're saying. They're just not saying, okay, bribe me. But that's what they're doing. And he's ready for it. So I know this sounds probably cynical, but I don't trust any of them for Good Morning. I don't care who it is. I really don't. they will bribe. I mean, if the guy in Louisiana doesn't sign it, the people need the money, he'll lose votes, right?
Yeah.
There you go. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? It's Louisiana. I'm not so sure. You know, it just depends. It's number one. Why doesn't Louisiana have the money? I mean, but there's a lot of good people in Louisiana who, you know, sometimes they think it's wrong to do this. That they shouldn't, you know, buy out the politicians and so forth to pass something that isn't good for this country. So,
That takes Christian character and integrity to stand like that.
It does.
And pay the price yourself sometimes. It does. That takes really strong character. And sad to say, most politicians don't have real strong character.
Well, no, they don't. But the people in Louisiana do. So.
Well, you think the people would stand up and say, if you do this, we won't vote for you. If you, you know, so I don't know, Melody. It's a really a cesspool, not just what we've been talking about, the swamp. It's a cesspool. It's been that way for longer than I've been around.
You know, we're just about ready to head into a break here, and we're looking at the U.S. home builder confidence. That edges up in September. Confidence among U.S. single-family home builders edged up, reversing a three-month decline as some of these elevated costs for building materials, including softwood lumber, that has eased a little bit. Now, this survey was out today from the National Association of Home Builders. Well, Fargo Housing Market Index rose 1 point. Boo-hoo! To 76 last month. But you know what? Builder sentiment hit an all-time high of 90 just last November. So it's a far, far cry from 90. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And I just wanted to finish up on that U.S. home builder confidence that edged up. You know, lumber is down more than 60% from its May peak. But overall aggregate residential construction material costs increased 13% on an annual basis in the first 8 months of this year. And when combined with the recent surge in home price growth, builders see housing affordability as an issue in the months ahead. Let's see. I guess that's about it. But, you know, it's my question. I knew lumber prices wouldn't stay up, but I kind of really would like to know, what really took lumber up to that level? I mean, it was just... So, and why did it change? Why has it dropped 60% from May's peak? So, anyway, those are just some questions, and I hope you're going to talk about Bitcoin, or I'm going to bring this up right now, Butch.
No, you go ahead and bring Bitcoin up. Go ahead.
I just want to finish it up. Bitcoin drops as much as 10% as risky assets tumble globally. Bitcoin, this article, it's what, CNBC, you know, and okay, it dropped 10%. Bitcoin is often called the safe haven asset. Folks, Bitcoin is not a safe haven asset. Don't even think of it, because it is not. It's, go back to March of 2020. And you tell me what Bitcoin did when the stock market was crashing. It is not a safe haven asset, but that's how they pitch it, because so many people fall into that. You know, they get hooked, they get conned. If you want to buy it as the investment. Know what it is. You know. Know that it's a Ponzi scheme, basically. It's nothing. That's okay. Then buy it. But don't buy it because you think it's a safe haven asset, because it's not. But anyway, it was down as much as 10% this morning. It was last down more than 7% at 43,790. The broader crypto market was in the red, too. Ether was down 8.5%. Coinbase, MicroStrategy, they lost 3% and 4% respectively, while Square slipped by 2%. Oh, yeah, they all really sound like a lot of safe haven investments, don't they, Butch?
They do, and Bitcoin is not an asset. There's nothing there. It's air. It's a digit on a computer. It's more fake than a dollar bill. There's nothing there. I know it went up. People made some money supposedly off of it, but folks, it can't last because it's not an asset. An asset is something that's hard that you on hand asset like gold or silver or even guns and ammunition. Something that you have in your hand that is tangible. But a Bitcoin is a digit on a computer that you have no control over. And you can't just pull it out and put in your hand and go spend it. It doesn't work that way. Just think about it. Melody's telling you the truth. That's all I'm going to say. Think about it. Go ahead, Melody.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. And there was one more thing I had here, I'm sure. Democrats cannot grant legal status to millions of immigrants as part of a budget bill.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw that.
I mean, it's like, just even the conversation, even the idea of granting legal status to millions of immigrants as part of the budget bill, it shouldn't even be.
No, that shouldn't be discussed. It has nothing to do with
shouldn't
the budget.
Shouldn't even be discussed, yeah.
That's just padding the bill.
Just padding the bill, but anyway.
That's all it's doing. I had a doctor friend that I hadn't talked to for quite a while, Dr. James, out of Kansas, called me the other day. And he said, Pastor Butch, you probably don't remember me, but I met you years ago, and you are the one that led me back to the Lord. And I'm a doctor in private practice, and so I heard you back on the radio, so I want to call and tell you something. He sent me some emails and information. And North Kansas School District had three food distributors that canceled their contracts, Melody, because they can't get the food.
Wow.
Let that sink in a minute. We're talking about school children here, folks. North Kansas School, look on your computer, find out for yourself. North Kansas School District, their three food suppliers canceled their contracts because they can't get the food. Now, if you don't think there'll be a shortage, it already is, obviously. You think it'll be a price hike? Duh. Went up 33% since last year. That's according to the UN. So, this is a serious statement. And he told me some other things, too, we'll get into maybe another time. But 33% increase, a food shortage to a school from three suppliers, and they can't get it. And they're scrambling to find more food suppliers. Melody, we're talking about America here. Have you ever heard that before in your lifetime where food was so scarce you couldn't find anywhere?
No, I don't think I have.
I haven't either, but here it is. So we can, think what we want and do what we want, but nonetheless, it is what it is. And this same doctor wrote two prescriptions for Cipro. I don't remember the whole word, but Cipro is a common name for it, for infections. He wrote two prescriptions to the two patients. There is no Cipro in all of Kansas City. A common drug that people take every day. There is no Cipro to be found in Kansas City. Now, that's another pretty glaring statement of where we could be heading, is it not?
Absolutely.
Folks, think about this. I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but I'm really not. But I do know that horse owners are facing an ivermectin shortage because people are buying up their ivermectin for COVID. And I have some myself. I do. I bought three tubes of it. You can buy two, but Tractor Supply for $7. It was $7. Or if you get a prescription, you can pay $500 for the tablets. I took the $7 worth. I have three tubes of it. And a friend of mine, also another talk show host, Kevin Gallagher of Connecticut, called me the other day. His wife had got a prescription for ivermectin. Took it to the drugstore, CVS to be specific, and went in to get a field, and they asked what it was for. And said, my doctor prescribed it to me for COVID. They said, we have orders to not fill prescriptions for ivermectin for COVID. So they won't give it to her. With a doctor's prescription, she still couldn't get it.
Did she have COVID?
No, not. I don't know. I don't think so. I think she's going to get it, just to keep her preventative medicine. But she couldn't get it. So, this is things we never heard of before. No food in the schools. Can't get medicine with a doctor's prescription. Can't find Cipro in all of Kansas City. Something going on here, Melody. There's something really happening behind the scenes that we have just scratched the surface of. And I'm telling people they better prepare themselves because it's going to get really bad. If I believe the Bible, and I do, Psalms 9:17 says, all nations that forget God are turned into hell. I didn't write the book. I'm just a messenger boy. We're starting to see things happen in America that I never saw in my lifetime, ever, where a school cannot buy food for the children. So any comments on that?
No.
You still with me?
I am.
Okay. You have any comments you want to add to that?
No, I mean, there's all kinds of signs out there that's going on, and there's just a lot of crazy things going on, and there's a lot of, and you do have to be very careful. Again, it's We live in bizarro land.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go through some headlines here. White House revokes COVID travel ban because the allies or friends are getting upset because they couldn't travel back and forth the country. But they're lifting the ban, but they have to show proof of vaccination to get in. Okay? He's extending the restrictions to Mexico and Canada border both. Said American death toll surpassed the Spanish flu, which I don't, well, not from COVID. I don't believe that at all. And says, now Pfizer is saying that their jabs are safe for five-year-old children. And the states are bracing for confusion over boosters. The FDA turned down the booster shot from Pfizer 16-2. They actually allowed a whistleblower in to testify to them about what was going on. And they stopped it at a vote 16-2. 16-2. So that makes some sense. Maybe some things are coming out to light now they don't really want out. But I cannot believe that the FDA actually let a whistleblower in and talk to them. But they did. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
You know? And flight bookings have plummeted amid Delta variant fears. Again, folks, fear is controlling even the economy of the airlines. Flight bookings rapidly declined in August and early September amid a surge of COVID-19 cases fueled by the highly transmissible Delta variant. Online customers spent $4 billion on flights within the U.S. in August, down 24% from July and 35% below pre-pandemic levels, according to an analyst from Adobe Digital Insights. Now, I'm sure there's probably nothing to worry about. But the airlines aren't making the money. I hope they can still maintain the planes that are flying. If you know what I'm saying. And said through the first 10 days of September, flight bookings remain weak, down 39% from the same time last year in 2019. So it's affecting folks, businesses, whether what can I say, people are scared. They're not flying. And of course, winter's coming. And we're going to see who knows what over the next few months. You know, Melody, last year, everybody's concerned about COVID during the summer. When wintertime come, it's going to make things ratchet up quite a bit, didn't it?
You know, it did. I don't know what to say. I mean, I think it all still goes back to when the globe was shut down, when everything was, and this is just, it's not coming around. Things are not getting better.
No.
The economies are not getting better. People are not working, whether it's by choice or what. We still have a long ways to go, Butch.
Yes, we do. I don't think we're ever going to get there again, Melody. I don't think we're ever going to get back. No, it's not going to happen. Normal is no longer a part of the question.
No, it isn't.
It isn't. It's never going to happen again.
What's happening is a new. We're being redeveloped.
We are.
I guess. Being redeveloped.
Reset.
Yeah.
I mean, and people get mad at us that threats against members of Congress are skyrocketing. It's changing the job. A few months ago, Representative Norma Torres, a Democrat from Panoma, received an anonymous video of someone following her car. The camera pans down to a 9mm handgun. On the seat, as a male voice says, "I see you. I got something for you." In June, police charged a man with making terroristic threats against New York Republican Representative Tom Reed, believing a dead rat with a noose around his neck and a brick with one of his family members' names on the congressman's doorstep. Now, just think about this, folks. This is for real. Police intervened in January when the more than a dozen Trump supporters confronted, surrounded, and threatened Representative Lou Gurria, Democrat Santa Ana, as he was catching a flight at a Washington airport. In a year that kicked off with the deadly January 6th attack of U.S. Capitol, threats against members of Congress are soaring. In the first 3 months of the year, Capitol Police recorded 4,135 threats against Congress members. If that pace continues, total threats in 2021 would double those in 2020. So
I like to see what all those threats consist of. Like,
well,
I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote for you. And they get, you know, put into, you know, is that a threat? You know, if you don't
people
do this,
angry.
Or are
people
they
getting angry?
And you know what? Yeah, but you know what? You don't go around town saying, you know, what I'm going to do to you and so forth. You know, that doesn't get you anywhere. That doesn't get anything accomplished. You know, but yeah, say, hey, this is, you know, we're not going to vote for you anymore. What are you doing about this? What are you doing about that? And so on and so on. But making idle physical threats, it's childish.
Well, our nation is like a bullying pot on a stove with no outlet. It's something going to give. Democrats fundraising at record-breaking pace ahead of midterms. You should figure that, folks. I think they're sweating midterms. You know, that's, I'll be here before you know it, Melody. Democratic National Committee raised $9.9 billion in August, bringing its 2020 total to $110 million, both record amounts for a year before an election, according to a person familiar with the party's fundraising. So, okay, so what, are they afraid? Apparently they know him for a run in next year. And I do the House to go back over to the Republican side, don't you?
Hey, if the Democrats are raising, what, $110 million, you said?
Yes.
It's not a matter of that they're running scared. They've got the money now to fight for their positions. What are the Republicans doing? We're still out there still crying that it was a bad election last year. What are we doing? What are we doing for next year's re-election? Do you think they're just going to give it to the Republicans? So actually, the Republicans are being set up to lose. So I'm not so sure the Democrats are going to lose everything. I don't know. You'd think they would. You'd think it'd be a easy peasy. But there's the other side to it, too, that I just explained.
Yes.
So
I mean, I don't know. It's so hard to read anything. And again, and I say this, oh, I hate to even say it. How do you know your vote even counts? I mean, obviously, we've been defrauded more than once. It's happened in California again. So how do we know that vote really counts anyway? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's why people getting angry. They're realizing they can't do it any other way. Just a statement. I don't know. If that got anything to it, you're right ahead.
But you could have said that 20 years ago.
Oh, sure. You know, but now it's on the open.
Know, my vote doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that for 50 years.
But now it's so blatant that nobody seems to care. They don't even try to hide it that well.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And we're into the third segment of the program today, Butch.
Yes, we are. We really are. Time goes by so fast, and we're also in the last full week of September.
How about that?
How about that? Fall starts when? Wednesday, I think. So here it comes.
First day of autumn is the 22nd. Yes, you're correct. Wednesday.
Wednesday. How about that? Well, I love the fall. I do. I mean, I'm blessed to live here in the hills of West Virginia. When the trees are changed, it looks like a big kaleidoscope of color all across the mountains. I tell friends, it looks like a big patchwork quilt. You've ever seen a patchwork quilt where everything's sewed together in all different colors?
Mm-hmm.
What it looks like. Looks like it's covering the whole, all the mountains. It's beautiful. I love fall. Not too keen on winter, but I love fall.
I just have a funny feeling winter is going to be kind of chilly.
Rough. It's going to be rough,
I
too.
I do. Mm-hmm.
A lot of different ways. Oh, my, a lot of different ways. Denver City Council.
I'm talking weather.
I'm sure weather, too.
I'm talking weather.
Look what we had this summer. I mean, we have set records here. It's never very seldom up in the mountains here. It's in the 90s. It's rare. Matter of fact, Bluefield, a town a little bit south of me, if it hits 90, they give away free lemonade. Well, they've had several free days this year, so it is what
it is. That's great.
Denver City Council questioning scope of street enforcement team. Now, I didn't know this. A street enforcement team. Civilians, folks. As administration, Mayor Michael Hancock tries to manage growing homeless encampments across the city, Denver City Council members are questioning whether the new street enforcement team powers are appropriate. You describe this as a very low-level enforcement team. We have some very law enforcement charges on this list. Councilman Robin Kinnick said at a September 15th Denver City Council Safety, Housing, Education, and Homeless Committee meeting, referring to a list of enforceable laws shared by Armando Saldate, a senior-ranking Department of Public Safety official who led the creation of the team. The Hancock administration plan for the street enforcement team, which staffers likened to a park rangers when it was unveiled in July, is to give its members authority to enforce and issue citations for 20 laws, including ones generally associated with people experiencing homelessness, such as unauthorized camping, public urination, trespassing and obstruction of the public right-of-way. The team will also be able to issue citations for failure to obey a lawful order, providing false information, and violating court orders. So we have a civilian team appointed by the council where they can go out and enforce laws on homeless people. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't do something to help them, but and Denver was once a very prosperous city, Melody. I mean, it was, the whole state was. Now Denver's experiencing homelessness, so is Colorado Springs, where my son lives. But now they have civilian law enforcement going around and writing citations, and who knows, maybe they don't be able to arrest people if they don't follow rules. I don't like to see it happen, do you?
Well, no, but I'll tell you what, you have legalized drugs in Colorado. And, you know, I don't care what anybody says, it does have an impact on the health of neighborhoods and cities and states, your communities. And it's, you know, people get all giddy and excited when these states pass these, you know, I believe in medical marijuana. I do. I believe you should have a prescription, and it should be distributed by a pharmacy. You know, now, I mean, I just believe that's the way it should be done. And but anything else to get excited about legalizing drugs? There's some states that have legalized hard drugs. It's not good. I mean, it's just not good. And Butch, you know, I hear all the time, well, you take, you know, you take the money element out of it and you'll solve the problem. No, you don't solve the problem. I mean, it's a decaying society that welcomes drugs. It's, oh, well, I don't want to, I'm not going to do it. You know, if somebody else wants to ruin their life, you know, so be it. That's not the way we're supposed to be. Oh, well, you know, the Netherlands or blah, 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 they've done it. And they're, look at everything else that they have. These are all socialist countries that are, you know, that you can't compare the two. And Butch, it just amazes me that, and I don't mean to get off on the drug industry and so forth, but here you have Colorado that you were talking about and their problems with the homelessness and, you know, look at all the needles that you find in the homeless community in other states and so forth. You know, it's not good.
I know. I don't know. Melanie, it is really, it's always been a huge debate. And I can see both sides to point, but I see your side more than the other side because whenever you allow something that's so destructive to human lives, physically, spiritually, and even mentally, and destroys families and everything else, I mean, and you say, well, but you have to have freedom to do these things. Do you have to have freedom to murder, rape, steal? That's what you're giving the people the ability to do. When you get high on drugs, they'll do anything. I know, I bet dealt people, folks, who would still, they would, when they're somewhat to themselves, they're the sweetest people in the world, they won't do a thing to harm you. But when they need a fix, they'll take anything, get their hands on. And that's a fact. I've seen this. So all we're doing is causing the problem to multiply by making it readily available. And I can't say that isn't planned either, but that's just my opinion. Any comments on that, Melly, before we move on?
No, you know, you still need to have rules, and you know, there's, you still have to have rules, you know. And I, you know, and I'm just legalizing drugs. It's just been my, you know, it's just.
Well, again, that's
a sticking point with me.
When it causes more troubles than it ever fixes, I can see that. United Kingdom meat industry warns of imminent threat to supplies from CO2 crisis. Now, that's another direction I wouldn't see it come from. CO2 shortages is caused by closure of fertilizer plants. Okay. Meat industry needs CO2 for animal slaughter packaging. Ocado reduces lines of frozen food it can deliver. As Ocado, Cranswick updated, anyway, they're running out of meat supplies. Some of Britain's meat processors will run out of carbon dioxide, CO2, within 5 days, forcing them to halt production and impacting supplies of food retailers. They had the country's lobby group warned on Monday. The jump in gas prices has forced several domestic energy suppliers out of business and has shut fertilizer plants that no longer make CO2 as a byproduct of their production process. Folks, this is a chain that is being snapped piece by piece. The CO2 gas is used to stun animals before slaughter and the vacuum packing of food products to extend their shelf life and to put the fizz into beer, cider, and soft drink. CO2 solid form is dry ice, which is used in food deliveries. So for whatever happens, I said my members are saying that anything between 5, 10, and 15 day supply remain. After that, no promises. Now, I hadn't thought about CO2 and fertilizer, but they shut down the fertilizer plants. There was a kickback on that, obviously, and the prices are obviously, with some shortages, the prices are going to go up. So I don't know, Millie. I just don't think about that because it is happening. We can look at it and shrug our shoulders, but it's affecting them. It'll affect us eventually, will it not?
Of course it will. You know, I mean, since we're so globalized and everything, it certainly will. And again, these are all signs, but those signs are all adding up.
Oh, yes. And I guess you've heard about the Canary Islands situation. Have you been following that?
Tell me.
No? Okay. The Canary Islands are facing what could be a devastating volcano. It says lava from Canary Islands volcano flows to sea, causing material damage and no injuries as yet, but the people are evacuating. And they said lava continued to flow slowly from a volcano erupting in the Spanish Canary Islands off northwest Africa, but the head of this regional government said many expect to see no injuries, but they're starting to evacuate 5,000 people. Now, I don't know how much this is going to lead up to, maybe nothing, but they've had thousands of earthquakes over the last week. Thousand. They expect if what could happen, and they're starting to see a fault line, that part of this one island, La Palma, where the volcano is, if it does slide off, now this is what you're saying, I'm not making it up, folks, it could cause tidal waves from 300 feet or maybe more to go all across the East Coast, all the way down to Brazil and up through Canada. Now, that's what they're saying. I'm not making this up. What's going to happen? I don't know. But I know that right now they're on yellow alert, the last I heard. So that could be serious. We'll have to wait and see. Now, you hadn't heard that, Melody?
No. I see something every now and then, but there's always so many reports on earthquakes and volcanoes, I really don't pay that much attention to them. You know, a tsunami from, that should get our attention.
It should, especially where you live. You're on the East Coast. East Coast. And another article that I think need to share, if we're running out of time very quickly. America's next hot import might be record energy prices. Whoopee. Natural gas, coal, and electricity prices are running abnormally high far too early. And I don't know about your electric bill. Mine was tremendous this month. It was. Today's high energy prices could be a preview of coming attractions, a real horror movie, if this winter is cold. And I think it will be. Benchmark U.S. natural gas prices edged above $5 per million British thermal units this month, near the highest since 2014, but they are fairly tame compared with the level in Europe and Asia. The inventory situation seems less dire at home, too, as underground natural gas shortage grows. The problem is that seasonal stockpiling isn't happening quickly enough, with inventories 7.1% below their five-year average and less margin for error. So we'll see. Will there be another thing? Heating time is coming. Oh, I know I don't want to think about that, but it's time to turn on your heaters, build a fire, whatever you do. And what that's going to mean with your price for this winter, I have no idea. But folks, prepare yourself. Please prepare yourself. Don't take anything for granted that's all going to get better again. Please don't. Please put some food back and a water filter. We offer Berkey's through our ministry, and that's one of the best in the country and in the world, actually. And some guns and ammo, but put back some real money for barter or sale. Please do that, because we're telling you it's because we care. You're seeing all the alarm bells going off. So how much more do we have to tell you to see how this is working? It's happening. I don't know, Melody. I mean, we can tell them, we come at them in 1,000 different ways with information. How can we say more?
And you know what? I just got this notice in from my buyer. He says the U.S. Mint is starting to run behind in the production of Silver Eagles. It looks like the premiums look like they might be going up. So, you know, again, if you guys were going to take advantage of these lower silver prices, you better step on it because we're getting to that time of year. They're probably, if they're starting to run behind now, probably let the Silver Eagles kind of go and come November because they have to change over for the new year of 2022. So it's going to be hard to get it. And who knows where the prices might be, come December, when we can start locking in the 2022s. And again, don't lock your 2022s in at the end of November or the beginning. Wait, because don't let dealers have your money for that long. I mean, come on. So, because the product doesn't get you know, delivered till the end of January. So anyway, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Any final?
I will close with something kind of humorous but sad also at the same time. Brazil's unvaccinated far-right president, Bolsonaro, forced to eat pizza on the street in New York City. He couldn't get in the restaurant because he wasn't vaccinated. So he had to eat outside. The president of the company, you know, I guess fair is fair if you can. So I might like to hear that. It was kind of amusing, kind of sad. I mean, it is what it is. But he had to eat pizza out on the street.
Yeah,
this is America today, folks. This is America today. What can I say?
Really, you know, and the one thing, too, I don't know if I can bring it up real quick, but there were 600 people who didn't get paid. They were suspended without pay in North Carolina because no proof of vaccinations. Mecklenburg County leaders informed employees of that they would be fighting the spread of COVID. Employees were given until September 15th, and so they were suspended without pay, 600.
Wow. So,
coming
amazing.
To a town near you.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, we're out of time.
Yes, it is,
up,
and we'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, thank you. And
you're
we'll be
welcome.
Back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.